The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show, hour number two, and we're going to cover a lot of different topics. We'll start with our impact segment, 20-plus minutes of uninterrupted dialogue and discussion. Later in the impact segment, the state of the church and how we are responding to what's going on in our culture and our country. But first, we're going to get a little Gavin Newsom update. Evidently, earlier this week, our governor did a series of pressers at different locations, very controlled locations. And then evidently Wednesday or yesterday, I didn't get the day correct, he appeared in Fresno in a situation that wasn't so secured. And some things occurred. Here's a minute of, well, what evidently was something that consistently happened throughout his very brief press conference. And we'll get to that in a moment or two. Our audio is not working. All right. The other thing is an audio clip as well. And if our audio is not working, we can't do that. So I guess I'll circle back on both stories. What else can I share with you here? Dennis Prager took pad and pen together and, as he often does, wrote a commentary in his weekly column entitled, How Many Americans Has the American Medical Establishment Killed? This has to do with COVID-19 and the like. I think we've got that audio clip. So evidently, let me circle back because this is where I wanted to go. Gavin Newsom held a brief press conference in Fresno by which it wasn't so controlled.
And we're making real progress. But that backlog, again, is dynamic. That was the old backlog over the course of the last few weeks. We have cumulative examples, and I'm sure those are the ones you've cited as it relates to efficiently getting those checks out. But do not be naive that we have to do so in a way that addresses this rampant fraud we've seen all across the United States. So we want to do that with verification, and we want to do it with the sophistication of understanding that we have since last October when we began the...
I can't let it go anymore. That went on for a while. He had hecklers yelling recall, Gavin, bullhorns. And so my understanding was he was to do a press conference today about schools. And unless it happened, and I don't know it, it was canceled. And part of the speculation is he's under such fire now with the recall effort. And there are reports that recallgavin2020.com has sustained enough signatures to put it on the ballot in the fall, although that continues to, I think, March 17th. So that's the latest on our governor. And seems like he's definitely coming under fire. Also, if you are concerned about what's going on in the world, I've played audio clips from this man before. And some of you love him. Some of you can't stand him. And I suspect in the middle, many of you may not even know who he is. He is an author and a man that identifies himself as a prophet. Now, before you go down that road and, oh, come on now, listen to a little of what Lance Wallnau recently said about the realities of the church and what we're facing now in these times of trouble.
And for all the people that are praying for a great awakening for American revival, let me remind you of a verse that's going to happen in the midst of this awakening. That according to the Apostle Paul, evil men in the last days shall wax worse and worse, being deceived and deceiving others. In other words, you can't pray naively for a wholesale transformation of American culture by a sweeping move of God, because you're entering into not prophetic thinking, but magical thinking. And magical thinking is the devil's playground. We want prophetic thinking. evil men are going to wax worse and worse. That means you're going to have characters who are deceived and are deceiving others. And they're all over media and politics. They're hollowed out souls. They've sold themselves to the devil. And some of them actually have a cauterized conscience, which means they have reprobate minds. They cannot see with moral clarity. And it's not just Democrats. It's Republicans also. They can't. They're blinded. Now, there are those that are blinded by the devil, that the veil can be torn, and there are those that are simply deceived and deceiving others. And I believe there are many of those that have actually crossed the line. I think the fear of the Lord is you could go too far. And I think many of them, many people on the earth right now have actually gone too far. And so the fear of the Lord would have us know that there's going to be entrenched opposition that's going to lie about you anyway. Remember, it was the purest church in the world in Rome when Nero sent them into the arena. So it's not like, you should blame anybody for giving us a bad reputation. I hate it when I hear Christians go down that road because the devil's going to give you a bad reputation by simply lying about you. So it doesn't, there's nothing you could do. Jesus had a bad reputation, by the way. Did you know that? Jesus had a terrible reputation. But it was a terrible reputation with half the mob that wanted him crucified because they were listening to the fake news of the Pharisees. But what I want you to catch is this. The good news is that in America, you can still say these things. The good news is I'm talking to you right now. It's not over yet. The good news is if we have a courageous, apostolic, evangelistic generation that knows, like Mario Murillo, my buddy, that knows how to swing towards hitting the harvest and preaching the gospel and doesn't get caught up in the psychodrama of politics, but, boom, can swing around and see with 2020 clarity what's happening in the psychodrama of psychological operations and manipulation in media. That's a powerful 1-2 punch because it sees clearly and speaks clearly to what's going on in the world right now and then swings around to the harvest. I'm telling you, most of the church is divided into two groups. There are culture warriors obsessed with what's going on in the battle. And then there's the pure spirit people who are just out there, don't want to get involved in politics and, think that. And by the way, they're both legitimate positions. I don't have the authority to comment on the legitimacy of anybody's calling. But I'm saying the division is there. There are those people that see the battle in the culture and they see it 100%. And there are those that don't see it, but they're 100% over there in total dedication to Jesus and thinking that that's the solution. We really are going to see some great awakening happen when the two are fused together.
Lance Wallnau is an author and recently shared that on his Facebook page. A couple things that stood out to me. Magical thinking versus prophetic thinking. Magical thinking. Stuff like, we had months ago. President has a plan. He's going to right these wrongs. Or he's on his way to Dallas with the military. Or he signed this order. Those of us that believe something with the elections was manipulated, anomalies, whatever. That's magical thinking. Magical thinking also is, I'm just going to pray for God's will and God's in control and I'm going to live my life and that's the way it's going to be. Magical thinking. I think part of the problem in the church is that many people rely on magical thinking versus have a deeper understanding of scriptural thinking, if you will, what the Bible says. Call Lance what you will. He gets called a lot of names. He is someone that is very astute in the Bible. He understands spiritual warfare and the realities of the Bible makes reference to the spiritual realm. How many of us that have faith in Christ, as he said, see and speak clearly? Got to be honest here. At least in my circles, I don't hear or I don't witness a whole lot of that level of lucidity or clarity. I don't. I see a lot of magical thinking, a lot of magical beliefs. Again, God's in control. Current administration, God's will. Like somehow everything that happens in this life is God's will. That's not biblical. Will God use everything for the betterment and for those that love him, for the greater good? Of course, but you think it's God's will that, and then you fill in some of the darker aspects of humanity. You think that's really God's will? We can go back to Genesis. Adam and Eve kind of started that whole snowball rolling. Yeah, I'll say this and we'll move on to some other topics. I haven't been in this mode and this opportunity to speak to things in the news and country and culture for this is 3 days now. I don't want to say it the way it's easy. So I'll try to take a moment and articulate it in another way. If you profess to be a Christian, that doesn't necessarily mean you are a follower of Jesus. There are a lot of people that say they're Christian. They may or may not even read the Bible. There are many people in positions of leadership that have their own anointing, their own grievance, their own burden, their own, how shall we say, their own cross. Jesus said, pick up your cross and follow me. And I'm all for unity in the church. I think that's part of the problem. And I think it's very easy to see where Satan's kind of got his claws in those of us that can't even look to each other without a lens by which we see, like, the racism issue. Took a call the other day from a very kind woman who gave me an opportunity to clarify something I said. Sometimes I say things by which the context is not clearly given, and it had to do with racism. I believe racism is real. It's a problem. It's a very, very real problem. But I think in the greater way of looking at things and understanding who we are in Christ, this is a sin problem. This is a spiritual problem. And I'm not saying it's an all or nothing, that we shouldn't work toward addressing racial injustice. Of course, that's absolutely part of how we are to live. We're here to attempt to right wrongs and identify evil as what it is. But when it becomes an idol, I want to be careful here, but when racism becomes an idol, now I really did it. Lord, give me the words on this one. By which many people that profess faith in Christ, we start looking to each other as the primary reason, culprit, or solution to the realities of something like racism, by which it has been adulated to the place of idolatry. And it just seems to me that the larger answer, the larger perspective, the larger solution is first and foremost found in the Bible and the identity that we all have in Christ. I don't think Jesus was all hung up on the color of your skin. And if we start from that understanding, that identity cumulatively together as the body of Christ, then we can work our way down. Versus what I see so much now. And I don't mean to open this up like I want to take calls or poor me, I'm burdened, I'm a victim here. It's not why I'm saying this. It's just something that's on my heart. In the last year, I think I've been called racist more times than in my entire lifetime. from people that profess to be Christians, that somehow I'm blind, I don't understand anything outside of my own color of my skin, and that I need to be more sensitive. And I'm not here to say that I'm anything but flawed and fallible and need the Lord, completely dependent on Him to get through. And that there is great merit to be gained by empathy and compassion and listening to people's experiences. I'm here to say absolutely. But I also think, like we look now in the manifestation of a current administration that says these things like they're against systemic racism and they're passing executive orders about immigration and equity and this transgender revolution. And, well, he's the second president we've ever had that's a Catholic. He goes to church every week. And yet these positions, to me, are like anti-God. It just makes me wonder, how can you identify yourself as a follower of Christ, different from a Christian? You're a follower of Christ and yet you support this? Or you voted for them and, well, they're no more of an attribute or a detriment from your faith-based perspective than the previous administration because, you know, he... And I just shake my head like, are we not called to have and draw our identity first and foremost in Christ? Not who we identify with in the physical, but who we are in the spiritual. And I think Satan's going to do his thing, especially as long as the church is divided. And race is a big one where the church is divided. We have a church that doesn't speak out against something like abortion. We have people rationalizing, well, from the womb to the tomb. And yeah, well, you people that are so concerned about abortion, what about? And then you just fill in the blank. Like, each one is to be examined on its own merit and if it's wrong to be spoken out against in unison together as followers of Christ. And here's the other thing. An administration that may have more of a biblical way in which they enact legislation, I absolutely believe is impactful and part of the solution. But I also think that that's not the end all, and it creates a dependence, and I think the church has been really lazy over the last number of years, by which we've, in a sense, we've mailed it in. We've not taken it upon ourselves to go into other communities and to love our neighbor as ourselves, or to get to know a pastor that we may not have any interaction with whatsoever. If we love the Lord above all, now I just don't want to sound too callous here, but I think we're very comfortable. We've been very comfortable up until about the last year. And we're very self-centered. You go to another part of the world, we just did a fundraiser. 2 days, 44-cent cure. Buying a tablet for a young child that has contracted parasites. Because in developing nations, they don't even have things like access to clean water. And I would think people that are not believers, when they hear that, the body of Christ would move swiftly, undeniably, overwhelmingly, that's the love that we're to pour into the world. Take care of those that are in a position of having a serious malady like peritonitis. And many of you did respond. But I think we can do so much better. It's not going to happen from the entity out there, it's not going to happen if we have our person in the White House. Although, don't get me wrong, There is a clear, undeniable difference between the past administration and this administration. Our country is being set back in so many ways. And again, if you're a follower of Christ, I don't know how you square that one with yourself that you voted for what we have now. But how do we move forward? I think we need to really, 2 Chronicles 7:14, we need to ask God for forgiveness. We're all self-centered. I'm there. I repent all the time. And seek Jesus above all. And start speaking out against the realities and the horrors of abortion and realize abortion is a weapon. And there is a spirit of abortion. No one that professes faith in Christ, I can't for the life of me come to some level of, any sense of contentment that a person's view is that they say, well, they're pro-choice, and yet you identify as a follower of Christ. Again, that's not the end all, but that's one definite reality that we have let gone on for year in and year out. We don't even stand for the rights of the unborn. And who is God, and what's God doing right now? Where are the leaders that speak out and talk about the realities of sin and the realities of things like hell? Oh, okay, this is where I tune out. Don't need to hear that, Frank. I believe in God. I think I'm, I'm Christian. Jesus seemed like okay, and I can live my life, and I'm good. That's a recipe for what we see right now in the physical manifestation of evil. We are, I talked to a dear friend the other day that said, man, I'm not sure I look out and is it just like evil has been unleashed? I think that's in part a fair description. And yet, what do? If we have faith in Christ and we believe in God's word and we have the hope only found in Jesus, what do now? Again, it's God's will. Just pray. And, we'll see how it all ends up. I just don't think that's God's will. 888-528-2557. Speaking of Christian leaders, there is one in particular that needs prayer. And I just found this information out. Who is he? What's going on? I will share that next here on the Frank Sontag Show. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. We have a wide open board, 888-528-2557. We had a couple of calls on the screen. I was actually going to take both of them, and they're both gone. Just need to share that with you. Your calls are always welcomed. And we have a wide open board. A few other stories in the news. I don't know if you've been following the new White House press secretary. Evidently, recently, when Mark Cuban made his decision to stop playing the national anthem, she was asked about that one and what the Biden administration thought and spoke about. And in essence, she just kind of dismissed it and said, well, it's about recognizing that the United States isn't perfect. Like somehow, okay, that justifies not playing the national anthem. What's up with Mark Cuban? I don't know. But evidently the NBA has kind of intervened and said, oh, no, you need to play the anthem. So that's one story in my stack of stories. The other is the saga of Gina Carano, the Disney actress that was fired for what she had shared in social media about the state of the country and her concerns. If you missed it, She had a screenshot with an image and talked about the Nazis and how things were, how the masses were conditioned. I can read the whole thing if you'd like. But what I find interesting more than anything, by the way, Disney fired her, and evidently she's already been hired by Ben Shapiro's people to help with a movie. But just the double standard that many on the left have shared some of the same things with neither a whimper. In fact, in September, I think it was an interview, our current president compared Donald Trump to a German Nazi propagandist and nothing. So, and I think we have to be careful with the way in which we just throw things around, but that's something that I think the left tends to do. They just, if you don't agree with them, you will be hit oftentimes with labels, broad overgeneralizations oftentimes that are pretty venomous. 888-528-2557. We have one of our callers back, David in Culver City. What happens every time I get you on the screen? Do we disconnect with you? I always want to take your call.
No, I'll tell you what happens. Your phone system is not very good. It switches you to the Mark Levin show frequently.
Wow. Okay, that's good to know because yeah. I do know we have phone problems from time to time. So that makes sense.
Anyhow, Frank, good to talk to you. I do have a problem with your analysis that, you know, if you didn't vote for Trump, you're not a Christian.
I never said that.
You can't possibly have voted for Biden.
I never said that. What I said.
You said, can't be a follower of Jesus.
I didn't say can't. I didn't. I don't use the word. Look, it's not semantical. It just represent my position accurately. So let me tell you my belief. I struggle with anybody that says they're a follower of Christ that can vote for, like, the present administration. That's different from can't or they're not Christians. That's between them and God.
Okay, struggle all you want. There are many Christians that don't love abortion but accept somebody's right to have one, number one. Number two, I haven't heard the problem with people like you, and I respect it in many ways, is all Christianity and abortion, that's all you talk about. What about adultery, drug abuse, racism, poverty, social inequity? You hardly ever talk about those, and when you do,
what does social inequity mean? What does that mean? Yes, go ahead.
Well, if you don't know what social equity means...
You just said inequity. You said social inequity. I'm asking you what that means.
It means a fair distribution of resources based not just on your race and not just based on your socioeconomic status. But you might disagree with that. I'm sure you do. But my other point is I never hear you talk about another sin. I never hear you talk about infidelity. What about Ravi Zacharias? He was a total fraud. I've never heard you say a word about him, and he was one of your heroes.
He was one of my heroes. No, he was actually a friend, not a hero. There's a big difference.
Oh, my God. You extolled his virtues on your show, and I haven't heard you address the issues of his sin.
So we're going to compare. Hold on. We're going to compare infidelity with the taking of an unborn life.
You know something? I think that they're all sins, Frank.
So lying is the same thing as murder to you.
I happen not to think so, but there are many Christians that believe a sin is a sin.
Do we need to speak for other Christians that. Or are you speaking and am I speaking? In fact, you even said people like you, Frank, speak to me as an individual as I speak to you as an individual.
Representative of a certain brand of Christianity.
Whatever that means.
Kind of intolerant.
Whatever that means.
A little bit intolerant and self-righteous.
Okay, I'm intolerant and self-righteous, and yet I put up with you.
Well, that's true, and I respect you for that.
Okay, but I'm intolerant and self-righteous. How do I do that? How do you come to the conclusion of that blatant contradiction if I'm intolerant Why would I sit and listen to you every time you call where the only thing you want to do is argue and accuse? Am I a masochist?
No, Frank. You're the one that says I'm arguing and accusing. I'm just stating an opinion. It happens to disagree with your opinion. You consider that accusing you.
No, your opinions are, but your opinions are accusatory. You can have an opinion that isn't accusatory.
My opinions are diametrically opposed to your opinions on many things. And when other people call you, and they're nicer than me, I agree. There are many people that are more polite and less obnoxious than I am. And you usually kind of dismiss them in a way.
Again, we're talking about other people. It's you and me, brother. We've got another minute. Stop talking about other people.
I'm listening to your show, and I'm telling you why I think you're intolerant, but it's a subtle kind of intolerance.
Do you support abortion? Do you support abortion?
I personally would not have an abortion. I wouldn't want my wife to have an abortion.
Good.
But I don't think I can dictate to everybody whether they get one or not. No, I don't think the law should be you can't have one. No.
Nobody's talking about the law. We're talking about people that profess faith in Christ and support the taking of an unborn life. That's what I was talking about.
I know people that are Christian, that profess faith in Christ and believe in a woman's right to choice.
I know. And we kind of end as we begin. I am not only mortified, but confused how someone can hold those positions and claim they're a follower of Christ, which is a conversation I would love to have.
Why don't you have a theologian on who has that?
Say that again. You broke up. Okay, you're breaking up again. I'm not doing that. I'm just sitting here listening. We'll try three.
Have a progressive Christian on and let him explain to you why that you can be a Christian and support abortion.
Well, right. Progressive Christians.
You might not believe in it. Okay.
I thought you asked me a question. Go ahead. Continue.
I did.
You won't let me answer, but that's okay.
Go ahead, answer. I'm sorry.
Okay, here's my answer. I would never have a progressive Christian on this program because they're not Christian. They bastardize the gospel. Theological liberalism is a large part of the problem in the supposed church. I don't need to give Satan any more airtime than he's already got. Now, here's the caveat to that. If I had more time, if I had a 3 or 4 hour program 5 days a week, I would probably be receptive to that idea. But in a two-hour program with commercial breaks and only so much time on the air, I would just kindly say no thank you to that suggestion. David, thank you for the call. 888-528-2557. Speaking of a man that is the antithesis of maybe having a theological liberal on the program, I want to make sure you know about a pastor who needs our prayer. Let me read his post to you quickly. And my phone is not pulling it up. You all know who Vody Bachum is. In fact, I play oftentimes some of his audio commentaries. Well, here's what Vody posted an hour ago. Prayer for heart failure. Says, if you've ever considered supporting us in prayer, please do so now. We're walking through the darkest valley we've ever faced. Not only have we experienced a great deal of loss in recent weeks, we are now facing a family health crisis. And then he talks about his preaching tour and struggling, thinking it was other things. Now he has come to find out that he literally has and is experiencing heart failure. He is on his way to seeking doctor's care. His prayers are that the Lord will grant them traveling mercies. Pray that he will grant me strength for the journey. He's asking the Lord for strength. Pray for God's providential healing. Pray for his wife as she walks through yet another valley. Pray for his children. Pray for the doctors. Pray for finances to come through, as they are currently uninsured and will have to cover everything out of pocket. Pray for their witness as they endure this trial. And pray for him, Vody Bachum, as he strives to lead his family while facing the reality of his own dependence. You can find out more, Vody Baca Ministries, and we will indeed keep Vody in our prayers, and I will keep you up to date on that. 888-528-2557. More of the Frank Sontag Show next. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. One story and one commentary that I've been meaning to get to. There was a story a number of days ago about Facebook has expanded their censorship of any in their categorical way in which they presented any conspiracy theories about COVID-19. Claims about the vaccine that Facebook has labeled false includes, quote, COVID-19 is man-made or manufactured. Vaccines are not effective. Vaccines are dangerous. And other claims of other therapeutics that profess to, well, in these words, what is the quote here? I got to get to the quote. It was very interesting. Oh, claimed healing. These are all shut down now. Facebook says no. So I think as time has gone on from the initial shock of what was happening in social media and censoring information to where we are now, I think we have a better idea of what we're dealing with, right? So I want to read a commentary of a friend, not a hero, a friend who writes quite well, writes a monthly column, actually has a national program through the same company that employs me, Salem Media Group. Y'all may know who Dennis Prager is. So earlier this week, Dennis wrote a column entitled, "How Many Americans Has the American Medical Establishment Killed?" I'll just read it to you. Dennis writes, "I should state at the outset that were it not for doctors, I would either be paralyzed or dead. I owe my mobility and probably my life to wonderful physicians. However, I will now state with equal certitude that the American medical profession as a whole and many individual doctors are responsible for the deaths of tens of thousands of Americans, very possibly more than that. Along with the media, from the New York Times to Google, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter, Americans have been denied both life-saving information and life-saving drugs. I'm specifically referring to hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. These drugs, along with zinc, which are as safe as any medicines humanity has taken in the last half century, should have been almost universally used to treat COVID-19 patients as soon as those patients showed symptoms or tested positive, and even as a prophylactic to prevent or minimize the effects of the illness in the first place. If they had been, it's likely that tens, maybe hundreds, or thousands of those who died of the virus would have lived and been saved." Prager writes, "For the record, I put medicines where my mouth is. I've been taking hydroxychloroquine and zinc, as well as vitamin D and selenium on a regular basis for a half a year, and ivermectin for the past 3 months. More for the record, during this time, I have hugged hundreds of strangers at various events around the country, maskless. In addition, at home, I live with 4 people, my wife, 2 stepsons, and the fiancé of one of the sons. That couple, both in their mid-20s, developed symptoms and then tested positive for COVID-19 a month ago. They were the only 2 members of the family not to be on hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin. And while they were ill, my wife and I practiced no social distancing, wore no masks in the house, and tested negative twice. As responsible citizens, we quarantined at home for 14 days. The son and his fiance immediately began a course of treatment of hydroxychloroquine, zinc, ivermectin, vitamin D, and selenium, and within a half a day, they were feeling better. A few days later, all their symptoms had vanished. Of course, the medical establishment, the media, and others committed to irrationality, fear, making fortunes from pharmaceutical companies, and keeping Americans from a normal life will dismiss all this as just anecdotes. But I would ask, How many anecdotes about the effectiveness of these safe drugs does it take to persuade people? I would ask an even more damning question. Given how safe hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin are, what could we have possibly lost by allowing millions of people to take these medicines? Or put it yet another way, if doctors who advocate for the use of these safe drugs are wrong, what price would we have paid? Essentially none. But what if Dr. Anthony Fauci, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, the New York Times, CNN, and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the National Institutes of Health, and the poor souls who trust them are wrong? The price we have paid is hundreds of thousands of dead Americans and quite possibly more than that. We paid another horrific price for listening to the medical establishment, the colluding media, Democratic governors, and others on the left. We have killed much of our economy, robbed tens of millions of Americans of their livelihoods, quite possibly put the dollar on the road to near worthlessness, perhaps ensured future inflation that will further destroy the well-being of an American people and sent innumerable Americans spiraling into depression, drug and alcohol use, spousal and child abuse, and even suicide. Offer an example of NIH dishonesty bordering on malpractice. On November of last year, the NIH issued a report titled, quote, "Hydroxychloroquine does not benefit adults hospitalized with COVID-19, end quote. This was dishonest for two reasons. First, zinc wasn't used. While hydroxychloroquine alone can help fight COVID-19, every physician who prescribes HCQ to COVID-19 patients insists it be accompanied by zinc. Hydroxychloroquine without zinc is like a gun without a bullet. Second, everyone who advocates the use of hydroxychloroquine and zinc to fight COVID-19 insists it be given as early as possible, i.e. before hospitalization. So the NIH test was useless. Why those who conducted it did not give patients zinc and waited until they were hospitalized are such obvious questions that either those doctors were ignorant of HCQ protocols or they set the test up to fail. Either explanation constitutes a moral and medical scandal. It is extremely important to note that the report concluded that hydroxychloroquine, what, quote, found not to cause harm, end quote. This is from the CDC on September 4 of last year. Quote, current data indicates that the potential benefits of these drugs do not outweigh their risks, end quote. Given that there are almost no risks, the CDC statement is egregious. Now to ivermectin. NIH, August last year, announced, quote, the COVID-19 treatment guidelines panel recommends against the use of ivermectin for the treatment of COVID-19 except in a clinical trial, end quote. However, 3 months later, the NIH published this finding regarding ivermectin, quote, countries with routine mass drug administration of prophylactic chemotherapy, including ivermectin, have a significantly lower incidence of COVID-19, end quote. Consequently, January this year, the NIH withdrew its opposition to ivermectin. How many Americans died from COVID-19 between August 27 and January 14 of this year because of NIH waffling? That report contained a truly deceitful statement concerning hydroxychloroquine, that it carries, quote, considerable risk of sometimes fatal complications and interactions, end quote. December of last year, the FDA declared that ivermectin, quote, is not approved for the prevention or treatment of COVID-19, end quote. Meanwhile, YouTube took down a U.S. Senate hearing featuring doctors and epidemiologists who spoke in favor of ivermectin. When we get to the other side of the COVID-19 crisis and all the damages tallied, the unnecessary deaths and the ruined lives, the medical establishment, the media, and many politicians are going to have a lot to answer for. At a great price, we have learned that, quote, follow the science and follow the scientists, end quote, are not the same thing. We have followed the latter off a cliff. Dennis Prager writes weekly for townhall.com. I pray that you do have a blessed weekend. Lord willing, we will be back here Monday. If you have any thoughts you want to share, you can email me at franksontag@kkla.com. This is the Frank Sontag Show.